Keep the devices in your home protected from Wi-Fi threats with Xfinity XFi. If it's connected, it's protected. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Switch to Xfinity today and get a great offer. You'll get fast speeds and the best in-home Wi-Fi experience with Xfinity XFi. And now, you can get advanced security for free when you get the XFi Gateway. That's a $72 value per year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store to switch today. Restrictions apply.
Are you somebody that believes that everybody deserves to be equal? Well, that starts with equity in education. And today's guest is somebody you need to listen to because they are an expert on that matter. Welcome to the Awakening You podcast, reminding you that the answers are within. My name is Scott Goyette, and I'm your host. Each week in this podcast, I will be sharing some simple yet very useful tools to help you dive deep and discover how infinitely powerful you really are. The show is based on specific growth models created by the Go Love Now movement that will help you choose love and move through your fears. The love model, L-O-V-E, stands for listening, observing, voicing, and empathizing. The fear model, F-E-A-R, stands for forgiving, eliminating beliefs that no longer serve you and may have never served you, accepting yourself and others where you or they are at in their journey, and rising up and becoming resilient. During each podcast, my amazing guests will share their experience with using these tools and how you might benefit from using them as well. All information shared during this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. Nothing from this podcast should supersede the directions of a doctor or mental health professional. And today's guest is a great friend of mine. She is the founder of an amazing organization that we're going to talk about today. I've met her actually in Santiago, Chile, when we were traveling around the world with my family. She's an amazing human being with an amazing spirit. Please welcome my good friend, Kendra Bostic.
Hi, Scott. It's absolutely wonderful to be here.
Yeah, it's exciting. And it's so much fun because Kendra, actually, we met in Santiago, Chile, when she was doing some work down there. She was with her boyfriend and we were traveling and we got to spend some time. And now she is actually at the University of New Hampshire, which is not far from where I grew up because I grew up just north of Boston. And those were my stomping grounds. So she's taking care of New England for me while I'm here in Texas. And I firmly appreciate that. So thank you.
Absolutely. No, it's been pretty cool to visit with you and the other side of the planet and learn that you also have a huge number of people that you know here in the New England area. This is my first time actually being north of Boston at all and getting to explore, and it's beautiful. There's some wonderful people and places up here.
And you've only got a few months to do what everybody loves to do and be part of that that leafer, what do they call it? The leafers. So you're going to get to see the foliage. I mean, were you there last fall?
I was here. Yes. And it was gorgeous. I took daily pictures. Yes. It was absolutely beautiful.
That's awesome. So cool. So let's talk a little bit about, I know something that's dear to your heart and very dear to my heart as well, especially in this time of COVID, is the fact that we really need to drive towards equity in education. So more than ever, I just want to preface it with this. Right now, a lot of the schools are going to be forced to go virtual. And so with that going virtual, that's really going to impact some homes. And that's going to really impact some families, because in that virtual teaching environment, some families are very able to transition to that and some are not. And so we've already had a massive lack in equity in education. When I can go to Austin, Texas, go west of I-35, which is the main highway, and there's literally, it feels like you're at Harvard University in a middle school with all the money spent in that school. And I go east of Austin and there's an old theater that's not being used and the football field is beat up and they don't have after school programs. And we're hearing there's equity in education. And anybody who's been involved in education knows that is not the truth in this country. Mm-hmm. So you are somebody who takes that very seriously. Talk about that and tell us how we can start to fix this issue.
Yeah, well, I was able to, firsthand see the same issues through my education. when I was getting my master's in social work, I worked at a public school in Detroit. Huge differences in the schools there as far as class size, as far as the materials that students had, as far as the resources. And 10 minutes away, you know, just a couple miles away in the suburbs, they had Olympic-sized swimming pools, state-of-the-art technology. And the only difference is, you know, the income that the parents make. So this has always been a really important issue to me. It's a systemic issue. It's something that we're aware of, but it doesn't seem like we're able to affect government or help people understand how this is so systemic and built into our policies. And so one of the pieces, you know, of practices that I've seen that are able to really support, you know, students in building their social emotional skills and building classroom community and helping students grow and reflect on themselves independent of sort of their surroundings is experiential education.
Yes.
When I was getting my master's in social work, I attended the Association for Experiential Education. It's an international conference. And when I was there, I attended the pre-conference that was for the Therapeutic Adventure Professional Group. And I spent 3 days with 25 people playing games and just learning more about myself and about others than I really ever had before. And so when I became a school social worker in Chicago, these practices, these activities stuck with me. Within a lot of schools, the teaching is more traditional. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people across America would agree that practices in schools are very outdated. And so when I would bring in these activities, teachers absolutely loved them. They wanted to do more of them, but they didn't have time because they had too much stuff to teach. There's so much pressure to meet the standards. So one of the ideas that I had was, you know, what if we were able to align these activities with teaching standards? And so that's really where the idea of Kikori, the app, came from. Another huge benefit of being able to have, you know, activities on an app is that one of the one things that we have that all educators have around the world at this point is a phone. They may not be able to afford the books, they may not have the computers, but everyone's got a phone. So with Kikori, the app my team and I have been working on for a little while now, that's one of the huge assets, is that these activities are aligned with social emotional learning standards, 21st century skills, and will be aligned with teaching standards, so that these team building activities into your math, into your reading, into your science lessons to help build social emotional skills while also learning content.
That's perfect. And I love a few of the things that you said. So first and foremost, you had the opportunity to really see this lack of equity in the Detroit area, which is another obviously big city that has these issues. I also like the fact that very quickly you identified the experiential piece really doesn't cost a lot of money if we integrate it correctly. And it's giving them the head start and the jump that they need so that we can move towards equity. Another thing I'd like to suggest for those of us who are educators is let's think of three things. And let's think of, there's no shame, there's no blame, let's reframe. So a lot of us have been stuck in a position where we have to deal with the standardized testing. We're always having things that are thrown on us. And anytime somebody brings something new to us, there's a massive level of frustration. So let's sit for a second and just think about that. You do not have to be ashamed that you're not doing your job well, because to date, you've done the best that you could. Now, here's the other thing. Let's walk away from the blame. Maybe there's something you could have done different. Maybe it was, you know, totally on the district, the school. Let's even move away from the blame. Now, we have Kendra and people like Kendra bringing opportunities for us to reframe this situation. So here we are. We actually have something that we see as a detriment with COVID, and we're thinking, oh my goodness, we're going to have to go virtual. How do we do this? This is the opportunity that we've all been waiting for. And this is the reason that I have Kendra here today. So her product is called Kikori, and it's an absolutely amazing product. And I want to hear a little more about it. And especially if you're somebody listening right now and you are not an educator, but know an educator, please share this podcast with them, because I can guarantee you what she's going to share with us today can help those students in your city, in your town, step up to the level so we have equity. And if you're somebody who doesn't believe this matters, I want to just do something for a second. Visualize our world if there was nobody oppressed and if there was nobody suffering. What does that world look like? This product is the platform and the catalyst to make something like that happen. And this is where it starts, and you can be a part of that. So Kendra, tell us a little bit more about this amazing app that you've created and why you did it.
Sure. So Kikori was intentionally designed for educators to support them in implementing more experiential and social emotional activities. Kikori is an app that was intentionally designed to support educators in implementing more experiential and social emotional learning into their classroom. The app has a database of a number of different team building games. It's organized into different types. So there are ice melters, energizers, team building activities, problem solving initiatives, art projects, community service activities, reflections. And within each activity, the app follows the experiential learning cycle. So this is really one of the key differences that we see between traditional education and experiential education is that users are guided through this cycle. So they do the activity, which there are lots of activities that are, you know, in curriculum and in schools, but the reflective piece isn't always there. And so within the app, after doing the activity, there are questions that support educators, parents, really, whoever's using the app, and being able to follow that cycle. So they're able to reflect on what happened during that activity. You can also guide the reflection to focus on collaboration, leadership, building self-awareness, for example. So what happened during that activity? And then how does what happened during that activity connect with previous occurrences? And then what are you going to do with this new knowledge? So that's one of the keys that we think is so important that's really missing from education. One of the things that's most important to us as Kikori is the community. We're really an app driven by the community, for the community. We have partnered with a number of different experiential learning practitioners in the field. And our goal is really just to bring together anybody who has experience in this and has knowledge and be able to move that into the hands of teachers and families. You also have the ability to create playlists. And so with that, if you're running a program, if you have a group that you're working with, if you'd like to create, you know, a plan for the week with your child, then you can put the activities into a playlist where you can drag and drop and reorganize. And then all of these things can be shared. So again, we want to build community. We want to help people communicate with each other, learn who else is interested in this, and just build a dialogue.
And that's perfect. And one of the things that you said there that really resonated with me is you talked about that reflection component. And here's something that I have learned being a business professor in college. These students, when they're able to teach the message back to me, is when they fully learn it. And so that reflection piece is actually that phase one of being able to teach it back. And that's a piece that we don't get a lot in middle schools or high schools or 1 through 8 or 1 through 5. So what I really, really want people to listen to loud and clear is imagine that student who's in the back left corner who doesn't want to ask a question because they don't feel smart enough. They're never going to get to that point where they can reflect back. So the value that this is driving is it's truly going to create that equity, because when all the students participate, all the students will grow together. You don't need to be the smartest. You don't need to be the best. You just need to be participating. And this is going to offer that opportunity. So especially imagine a parent right now who you have that student that the teacher was unable to teach because for whatever reason, this student feels, I'm not good enough. I'm deficient. I'm too far behind. That reflection component and these processes that are built in are going to give them the opportunity to create confidence. And that confidence is what's going to create that equity. So tell us more about that, because I'm hearing that loud and clear, and I'm excited to see the outcomes from programming an app like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the reflection piece is, it's critical to really helping our youth build self-awareness. And something I want to mention there is that reflection doesn't have to be out loud. There are so many different ways to reflect that meet, you know, different learner styles and different needs. Yesterday, I was actually just talking with my co-founder, Bryn Lodig, and my intern, Kelsey Daw, about, you know, icebreakers. We actually call them ice melters. It's a terminology we got from Lori Frank, who is an incredible practitioner in the field. She wrote Journey Toward the Caring Classroom and is supporting us and helping build out a lot of the training for the app. And we were talking about, yeah, icebreakers, how they're really made for extroverts and how it's so important to have, you know, icebreakers for introverts also. And it's the same with the reflection piece. There are lots of different ways to reflect, whether it's writing, whether it's art, whether it's movement. And that's something that we want to, you know, provide through the app also, is really helping, you know, teachers think about the different learning styles and what works best for their student, and be able to provide different ways for students to process their feelings, process, you know, what they're going through and what their experience has been. But yeah, and, you know, within the Kikori team, one of the things that we're beginning to include for all of our team members is 1 hour a week that is meant to be spent just on writing a personal blog, spending time reflecting on what's something that happened that was surprising that week, what's something that was impactful that week, because we talk about it a lot, but if we don't actually put in the time and structure to be able to really reflect and sit down and think about these things, then it doesn't happen. And I think that's a huge part of really American society, is we're always on the go, we're always running, we've got so many things to do, we're always focusing on the product, on accomplishing, on achieving, and we forget about the journey. And so that's one of the other pieces that we really want to focus on, is it's not about the product, it's about the process, it's about how we get there, it's about what we learn on the way.
So that's all perfect. And so I heard a bunch of cool stuff in there. So I like the idea of the ice melter versus the breaker, because breaker feels like it's like a physical attack or an action, where I'm getting ice melting would occur because of light and warmth. And so that's what the teacher's trying to do, is shine their light bright. And what happens when you shine your light bright? The brilliant surfaces in the individuals you're shining light on. So first and foremost, that's beautiful. I love your discussion about multiple intelligences and different learning styles, because that's a buzzword that needs to come up. We need to realize everyone learns differently. And when you first told me that this incorporates all learning styles, as a professor who doesn't struggle with it this anymore, because I've become very good at it, but it was very difficult in day one, because do you throw up the slides? Do you not put up the slides? Do you have people touch and feel something? Like, how do you do it? And so now I can recognize who learns in what way, and I can adapt to that. But I would have to say I most likely am a rare teacher in that. Mm-hmm. Most don't know how to do that. So this is another opportunity for somebody to have a framework to help teach better. Not saying that you're not good at what you do, but here's the deal. As a teacher, we have knowledge. We want to share it. We might not be the best, you know, communicator. Like, there's a lot of skill sets that have to come through that. And what if we have 3 out of 5 and then we're not a good teacher? This is going to help us be better. So as we're teaching the students, we have an opportunity to have this help us. So let's go. Yeah. I want to kind of dive backwards a little bit. So you're in Detroit. You're seeing this lack of equity in education. And I know that you always talk about the fact that because of multiple intelligences and there's different learning styles, realistically, is everyone in the world a reader or a writer or a mathematician?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I think of often, how within school, what are we measuring? Math scores, reading scores, writing scores. But that isn't the makeup of the world, nor should it be. And so that's why it's so important within schools that we support our youth in, you know, growing in their skill set and what's important to them and what's reflective in society. And so if the only, you know, things that we're measuring or educational, you know, experiences that we're providing is super small and constricted, then we're not really helping our kids to be, or society in the end. And so that's why, you know, experiential education activities are so important in helping students who are amazing kinesthetically or artistically be able to feel good about that and feel like they belong, and that this world is, you know, that they're meant to be a part of this world just as much as kids who are amazing readers.
I love it. And so one of the great things that I'm hearing here, and we talk about this a lot when we were sharing the love model, is we want to highlight individuals to find their brilliance. And so here's the simple thing, and I want our audience to sit and look at this and think about this. Imagine this: if we're all part of one creator, we're part of one universe or one collective unconscious, imagine if everybody is a perspective point. Now, one person or one perspective point might have been given a gift that's really easily identifiable. And so those are the ones we gravitate towards. For others, their gold is a little bit deeper. But a lot of times that gold is so precious with the work they're the one who's going to find the biggest, most amazing thing in this world. Think of Einstein or one of these people, dyslexic, this, not smart, stupid. Can you imagine if that person just said, I'm done. I'm no longer going to be a part of this world. We wouldn't have these theories and this amazing science that was created. So I would bet, and I think numerically we could go find this to be truth. I would bet if we help all these students dig up their gold, that we're going to have more and more Einsteins, and collectively this world becomes a much better place. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get a little understanding of what one of these experiential processes would look like. Can you share that with us so people can actually get an idea of what this looks like when they're going through a Kikori program?
Sure, absolutely. You know, a simple example is when, you know, in math class, a teacher has to teach multiples. So there are different ways she can do this. You know, she could stand up at the front and she can say 7 + 7 + 7. The students can say 14, 21, 28. Or she can use an activity where students are actually able to, you know, be engaged, play, have fun, and also potentially reflect on social emotional needs of their peers. And so rather than having the teacher stand at the front and read off numbers, the students can sit in a circle and play a game. So, you know, a great game for this is the multiple clapping game where students clap. So on one, they clap. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. On 7, the student doesn't clap. This goes around, so 8, 9, 10. And let's imagine, you know, that a student on 14 says 14. And the other students get upset. They might yell at him, point fingers. And so when this happens, you know, the student may shut down and say, like, I don't feel like playing anymore. At this point, there's an opportunity. So not only are the students engaged because they're playing a game, they have to work together. You know, there's a goal and there's learning that's happening. There's also this opportunity where the teacher can say, all right, if we're not all able to play, then can we continue? You know, the students can say no. So here's the reflect part. What happened? I was frustrated. I said something hurtful. I had wanted to win. Okay, and what happened, you know, when that occurred? Well, he shut down. He stopped wanting to play. He refused. Okay, now this is the connect. Has that ever happened to anyone else? You know, sure, the other day I was playing soccer. I made a mistake. Everyone got upset with me and I didn't want to play anymore. Okay, so this is natural. This has happened, you know. If the teacher is able to teach about fight or flight, like there are opportunities here to talk about what happens when we feel fear, when we feel upset or sad, and then the grow. So now what can we do with this information? You know, we could give somebody a high five if they make a mistake. We could tell them you can do it. We could say, no big deal, we're all in this together. So then when they're playing a game the next day or doing a different activity and somebody makes a mistake, then the group runs over, they give them a high five, and they're able to really learn and grow, yeah, and build community and be able to, you know, hopefully create a safe learning space, learn to take risks. This is just one example of an activity on Kikori and how you can use experiential learning to both really engage in academics and also build social emotional learning skills and community.
So the thing I heard loud and clear there, and I think is fantastic, and I'm a big fan of always talking about Maslow. The minute someone makes a mistake, they drop back into that physical and emotional safety place. And a lot of times when somebody's in the social or esteem phase, they're doing things unintentional to bully to validate their own social and esteem issues. So here's what I'm seeing right now. Every class has this. Every class has a few organic leaders who might think more quickly and say, like, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. So this, you know, don't do it this way. Don't do it that way. And then a certain percentage starts to fall wayside. These experiential learning opportunities, I can see we could challenge that student who could go one way or the other to now become a leader and say, is there a way you can help this person to make sure that they get that and now become a leader? And I would even go offline and talk to the person and say, hey, I can tell that they're struggling a little between you and me. I know you're a leader. What can you do tomorrow to be a better leader? And then the person who is struggling just say, you know, what's the beauty about education? Go, this might not be your exercise, but there is one. And if you can find your way through this, imagine once you find your goal, how amazing you're going to be at it. And so this is opportunity And this is beautiful that you set a structure to include this, because this is what I think teachers have been waiting for. They've been stuck for so long, you know, with testing and everything they have to do. So I think the quicker we start to revise programs like this and apps like this, the more quickly that we're all going to be healed, because we need it. It's amazing that you've brought this out, you know, here so that people can use it. Where are some of the places that we're using it right now, and how do people get access to it? Because I heard you say we're doing a beta test over this summer.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have 600 people right now who are using the beta app. We also have a number of different schools who are interested in piloting during the fall. Kikori is available right now on the Google Play Store and also the App Store. You can sign up. There are links on our website, www.kikoriapp.com, where you can sign up to play with the app.
That sounds awesome. So let me ask you this. So people know where to find it now. Here's something that I would love to share. Is there any one great takeaway that you would love to offer? Because being an educator, being somebody who's continuing to study, being somebody who really understands multiple intelligences, learning styles, you know, experiential learning, there's a lot of parents, there's a lot of educators right now who are saying, what do I do this fall? Do you have a tidbit or a great piece of information to share with them, a little bit of gold to send them on their way to start this fall a little more effectively?
What comes up for me is really just to follow your intuition. Right now, with everything that's going on, we are in the midst of trauma. So the fear that we're feeling and this need to do more, to overcome, to be better, that's our youth and our children are feeling that, the other side of that. And so right now might not be the time to teach math, but rather to teach that we're all in this together, to take the time to really build connections, ask questions, everything that we need. You know, it's okay to pause and to really help our children, just be with them during this. Reflect and take care of ourselves. We're feeling really scared right now. And when we feel scared, we want to do more and achieve, but that's not necessarily what we need, you know, and that's not what our kids need. Our kids need us to just be with them. And that's one of the most beautiful things about experiential education, is that it provides a space to, you know, find something in nature that reflects how you feel right now. You know, talk about what, you know, what's your weather? Like, there are all these different, you know, check-ins and ways to connect with people that help us be present. And so that's my one takeaway, is to, you know, if you're feeling it inside, so are your kids, and it's okay to stop the mad rush. It's okay to just pause and be with them and do what you need in order to get through this. And the more connections that you build, better that we'll all be in the end. So I just give everyone permission to follow your intuition and, you know, just be there for each other.
That's perfect. So Kendra, thank you so much for those beautiful words. That was what I think people really need to hear, is that education doesn't have to follow a specific order. We have this vision that we have to do math this year and do world history this year. And if we're not there, we're not on track. But at the end of the day, we're trying to build happy, joyful, productive adults. And if this year is going to shift gears a little bit, and it's going to be the year that we're going to learn some people skills and life skills, then so be it. Let's all embrace that together. And I thank you for those words. They were nothing short of beautiful. And you're a beautiful person too. Thank you so much for being on the show. I love you to death. And hopefully you have an amazing rest of the day. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Scott. And yeah, go love now. We're all in this together, and we are stronger together. And I feel like we can really put the heart back into education. So really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
This episode of The Awakening You is brought to you by the Speaking to the Heart Podcast Network. If you'd like to experience our interactive show notes for this episode, we invite you to visit us at speakingtotheheart.org.
Oregon College Savings Plan can help you support your kid's future career as a teacher. Airplane driver? No, their career as a hairstyle designer. As a dinosaur doctor? Oh, their future job as a windmill builder. No, an ice cream taster. You know what? We just don't know what they want to be yet. But while they figure it out and dream big, we're here to help you save for what comes next, whatever that may be. Learn more at OregonCollegeSavings.com.
When the unexpected comes calling, bounce forward with Comcast Business. Bounce forward fast with internet speeds up to a gig. And bounce forward with the flexibility to update your bandwidth in just a few clicks. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution starting at $64.90 a month for 24 months with a two-year agreement. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 25 megabits internet and one voice mobility customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra subject to change.